Hello, everyone, and welcome to Non-League Keeper, the podcast dedicated to the goalkeepers of non-league football. And we're making the journey back up to the north of England to talk to another northern goalkeeper. And I'm pleased to say that we're joined this week by the current Ramsbottom United goalkeeper, Ollie Martin. Ollie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
How you found last few weeks? Because I'm guessing with your business, which we'll start the podcast on, you've been busy getting all the new goalkeeper gloves out, ready for the new season, and those who are competing in the playoffs who want new gloves.
Yeah, we've had a busy few months, to be fair, especially since football come back. In any capacity, we have been really mad busy. Obviously, I appreciate all the orders that have come in, getting stuff ready for new season, new glove designs, new things, and all that. Very exciting times at the minute, right?
Do you just want to plug your business and where people can find you if they need new goalkeeping gloves, which I'm guessing a lot of people might do in the next few weeks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's called the GKN. Find us, the website is www.thegkn.net. Twitter at the GKN, Instagram at the.gkn.
So if anyone wants gloves, then get yourself over there. And I'm sure Ollie will be able to sort you out with some fantastic gloves. Let's start on chatting about your career. Started off as a youngster at Manchester City. What was that like? And I guess you'd be pleased for your old club having just secured the Premier League title in the last week or so.
Yeah, I was at City just as the money was starting to come in. So it was really interesting to see the transition phase. It was probably, like I say, it was right at the very start. So it kicked on probably a year or two after I left into what it is now, especially once we moved over to the main Etihad training campus, which is unbelievable. But yeah, no, it was really good. Met some good people there, played with some very good players. Angus Gunn was my age. He came in late on. And yeah, no, it was really good. Obviously, it's always good to see former teams doing well, as City will do. I think they'll probably win the Champions League final as well, wherever that's being played. But yeah, no, it was a good experience.
Also, you mentioned Angus Gunn. Any other players who people might know who've gone to play on in the Premier League, whether that be for Manchester City, dropped down into the Football League, or even like yourself, made a real name in non-league football?
And Brian he's the year below me, the lad who's at Sheffield United. You know, he started like an house on fire. He's been doing unbelievable. And then mainly just, you know, lads like Devante Cole, Jordi Huala, Albert Rusnak, who's playing out in America now, I think. There's so many fantastic players that have gone on to do great things, you know, whether it's in the professional game or at semi-pro level.
You mentioned Devante Cole. I think he's a name that stands out for me simply because of his family connections with Andy Cole. Did you get a chance to meet Andy? And if so, what was he like?
Only a couple of times, but he'd come down. Obviously, Devante is a year older than me. I played up a year, like most of my time at City, as it is. Sometimes 2 years if needed. But yeah, no, Andy was always quite quiet from what I remember. You're probably better off asking my dad more what he was like rather than me. I don't think he'd speak to a 14-year-old keeper at the time.
You joined Fleetwood Town. If I'm right in thinking, this was when Fleetwood had first made the step up into the Football League. So I guess, like City, there was quite a lot of transition going on.
Yeah, I mean, at the time they were flying. Obviously, they just romped the National League or the Conference back then. You know, and they're really the Man City of League One. You know, that they've got so much sort of money behind them and business behind them that they want to go like straight to the top. We were, like you say, we were the first sort of scholars or official club scholars of Fleetwood. I think it was eight of us that were the official ones. It was funny, I was looking back at some pictures like just yesterday, and it's crazy. It was going on 10 years ago now, but it's, you know, it's mad just to look back and think of them times. But no, great experience over the 2 years I was there.
What were the facilities like? Because obviously they'd really developed a Highbury Bear ground in the few years before, and they had that really big main stand that looked really impressive in the Conference. And then had they moved to Pool Farm, the training facilities, or were they training at the rugby club?
No, yeah, so they were still at the rugby club, at Fife Rugby Club. We, as the youth team, initially were training at Blackpool Sixth Form, where we did our education. Then in the second year, we moved over to Fell Rugby Club just so we could integrate with the first team a lot more. Plenty of times I was getting up extra early just to go and train with the first team in my first year, like going literally from pillar to post to do it. But no, it's a great experience. You know, going down from a trial first time, like the manager, Steve Carr, said, oh, like if you type in Highbury, you'll get there. And I was like, Highbury? So that's Arsenal Stadium. You know, you get there and it's Fleetwood, but it's it's an unbelievable stadium, and you know, on a nice sunny Saturday, it's a very nice place to be.
I guess you talked about training with the first team. They had some big names at the time. I think John Parkin would have been there, a couple of others who'd gone on to have great careers, David Ball, and I think one who you might have seen in training would have been Joey Barton.
Yeah, so I, like you said, the time sort of matches with it. So it was my first training session, and Joey Barton's there, and I'm thinking, you know, this, you know, Joey Barton, it, like I'm sat in the changing room opposite him. Like I've just seen him like a few sort of weeks ago or whenever it was. You know, obviously he got banned, that's why he was training with them. I think he's like best mates with Andy Mangan. We're training like, well, the changing rooms are like 2 floors up or something. Anyhow, Mangan goes out, Barton just grabs his bag, starts emptying it out the top window. Mangan comes in and he's like, oh, kicks off, and it's, you know, you just think that's Joey Barton at the end of the day. So that's my sort of one and only taste of him. But yeah, it was mad collecting balls for him on the first day.
Yeah, I can imagine. And a whirlwind experience. You join a club and your first training is with is alongside someone who was playing in the Premier League just a few weeks beforehand. When you were at Fleetwood, you were made captain of in your second year of scholarship of the youth team. So what was that like, bestowed with the honour?
It was a bit of a blessing and a curse, really. But don't worry, I loved it, and you know, I love like sort of being the captain of whatever team. You know, that's sort of in me as a character. But you know, at times there would be added pressure that I probably didn't need as a scholar, sort of stressful enough. You know, like being tied like between the first team and the youth team, and obviously the highs and lows of football that come with it. But it was. It was between me and another lad for the captaincy. I was more than happy to take it. I had him on as my vice captain anyhow. But you know, I think it helped me mature a lot. I left school, left city, like basically as a kid. You know, looking back on it, you are really young for that sort of, you know, transition. But then coming out of Fleetwood after my 2 years, I was a completely different person. You know, come out of my shell massively. You know, the chest was up, and I was, you know, I was happy with the person that I've become with it, and being the captain of the youth team, definitely.
And I guess it helped you when you got onto the bench for Fleetwood in the Football League in 2013. So how did you find out that you were going to be in the match day squad in the Football League?
It was a bit mad, really. So we, like the youth team, we played up in Carlisle. And I had an absolute stinker. I think we got beat like 5-4 or something. Every time we scored, I let in another stinker. Like it was shocking. Fortunately, it was like a bit of a, I think it was a nothing game. Sort of two mid-table teams in the Youth Alliance. So obviously we've been beat. The gaffer's like in a stinking mood. So it's like, right, you're going back down to Fleet. But bear in mind, you know, we went home. So like a lot of us were from Manchester. So it was about an hour and a half to Fleetwood anyhow from Manchester. But he was saying, right, got to go and watch the first team. They're playing at home, like basic punishment, really, and cleaning changing rooms and all that afterwards. So, you know, we're sat in the away end because it's empty. Like I think they were playing like Barnet or someone. I can't remember, but you know, Scotty Davis gets sent off, and then straight away, like everyone's looking at me, and I'm thinking, you know, that like Dave Lucas goes in net, and I'm thinking, Chris Maxwell was on loan. I think he was back at Wrexham at the time. I'm the only keeper here. Like, unless they don't take a keeper, I'm the only keeper anyhow. I go in the tunnel, like whilst we're cleaning the changing room. John Parkin didn't play, so he was in the tunnel. And I was like, John, like, you know, I had an absolute stinker like this morning or whatever. It was like I get over it quick, son, because you know, I think you're gonna be in with the first team next week. Get pulled into the manager's office on Monday, and it's like, yeah, right, you're travelling down to Aldershot, train with us all week. You know, travel down on the Friday, pack your things, train at a place in Coventry, and then, you know, you're there then. You know, it was a mad experience. You know, like I say, it was at Aldershot, and I was sat next to Jamie Milligan on the bench, and Dave Lucas, like, obviously I'm like, I'm bricking it in the morning and all that. Luke had like sort of picked up a little bit of a knock, so I was sort of waiting on him a little bit. Walk into over the shot, there's my shirt. So I'm sat next to Jamie Milligan. Luke's goes down, like takes a bit of a knock, he goes down. I'm straight away, I'm already in my full kit. I'm flapping, throwing me bib on, like going for a run, gloves are on, gloves, shin pads and all that, ready, like doing my stretches. And yeah, turns out Luke's is sort of faking it, it's a bit of gamesmanship. So I'm, you know, Millie can obviously see that and shook. He's like, don't worry, I was nervous for my debut as well. Everton at home in the Premier League. I was like, oh, nice one. So yeah, no, it was class. It was class.
Do you think it would have helped you if you'd gone on and David Lucas had been unable to continue and you just got thrown into it compared to if you'd known a week or so beforehand that you were going to start that game at all the shot?
You'd think so. You know, especially I was 17 at the time, you know, I would just be adrenaline would just be through the roof. And there'd be no pressure on me. You know, I was entrusted enough to be put on the bench. And, you know, if you're on the bench, you're good enough to be in the squad at the end of the day. So no, I would have loved it, but it was a maybe.
You moved on to Stalybridge Celtic. You spent one season there in the Conference North.
To be honest, I was happy I was still in full-time football, but I was a number two keeper. And, you know, sort of looking back on it, Conference North, I probably wasn't ready to, you know, maybe given a chance to get a few games, I might have found my feet, but I probably wasn't ready for that step. Don't get me wrong, I met, like, you know, I had Lewis King there, who's the keeper, and Kieran Bentley, who's the keeper coach, who I'm both still very close mates with. You know, sort of as a football club and as like, you know, enjoying being in football, that was one of my favourite times. You know, that's one of my favourite like GK unions as such. But you know, I was getting like 20 quid every other week or something. I'd say it was full time. It was around one far from my house. They were training at Woodley Sports, Stockport Sports Village, whatever. So I had to get a job in Sports Direct just to sort of like top myself up a little bit, you know. And then I should have moved on. I actually had Salford turned down when Bernard and Jono went in to start with, because Briggsy the gaffer wanted me as a number two there. So I was like, you know, I won't go, because if they want me on loan, I'm not playing, you know. So you have to sort of bump me up a little bit anyhow. Like, sort of things happened and all that. I stayed. What was it now? I think. Oh, that was it. So Valentine's Day, Kingy's missus like goes into labour in the morning. And I had a feeling it had happened. I just knew it. Kizza rings me up, says, you're playing today. So I walk in there, number one. Like, you know, I've not played all year, though. I played literally two like reserve games or something. Wasn't sharp at all. I had a stinker in the first half. I think it was five goals. And then 2 minutes into the second half, give a pen away, get sent off. So, you know, I think it was called the Valentine's Day Massacre or something on the forums. But yeah, straight away they got a lone keeper in. I wasn't ready for it, like, you know, sort of ability or sharpness wise. But you know, then straight away I was cast to the side. So I just thought, sat this, I'm off. I signed up for the Erasmus program in Sweden. Then, you know, and left Staley.
We'll touch on that move to Sweden in a moment. But you mentioned about the potential of going out on loan to Salford. Do you think if you had gone out and played some football, whether that be the Northern Premier League or like another National League North club, and you were playing regularly, that when you played that game on Valentine's Day, you would have been like more sharpened. It wouldn't have been what had happened.
100%. You know, you can't beat match fitness, and especially, you know, I was training every day, but it isn't the same. You know, at a young age, and I say this to every sort of keeper who's coming out of, you know, full time football, don't settle for being a number two somewhere, because I lost a year of progress just by, you know, sort of being, you know, happy little people pleaser sitting on the bench, when really I should have just left. You know, even if I didn't have a team, I should have just left and made myself known that was available. I actually went to Stalybridge because it was my last resort, otherwise I would have just packed in 40. But Stockport Town had just been formed, and they were obviously associated with Life Leisure, which is where I went to the gym. So I knew a load of the PTs who were going down to the trials. So I went down. Briggsy and Kizza were there from Stalybridge, and they were like, you know, you're too good for this level, come in at Staley. Blah, 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 blah. But playing at somewhere like Stockport Town or something would have done wonders for my progression rather than just sitting on the bench. So yeah, I always say to every keeper who asks, don't settle for being a number two, regardless of the level. You know, don't feel like you have to drop from full-time football to a conference club or a conference north club just because it's full-time. You know, you won't progress there unless you get a chance.
Progressing, you certainly do. And obviously, you touched on it, the time out in Sweden for IF, I believe they're called. So what was that like?
Yeah, you pronounce that like around the locals, they'll look at you funny. I found out because we were asking on the train, it's like, when's Ange coming up? And she thought, like, there's no Ange that works here, but no, it's Onger EF, it's called. It was class. I mean, I didn't play as much as I wanted to again, but I was there more for the experience. You know, I was, like I said, I was sick of working in Sports Direct. I was sick of Stalybridge. And, you know, I just wanted a different experience. It was a fresh start. It was happy days. And I just won a big bet on horses as well. So, you know, I went out, I had a bit of money to do it, basically. I was comfortable with it. Went out there, like, stayed with like five English lads. Like, unbelievable. I loved my time out in Sweden. Played a couple of games, like, did well. But, you know, I come back and started a job. And, you know, that sort of like dampened my wanting to go back out to Sweden. You know, I did want to do it, but then, you know, as with any 9-5 job, you just get comfortable, you know, and you get used to the money or whatnot. And it killed off that early progression again in my career. But, you know, that I've got a couple of regrets. That's one, but, you know, good's come from it at the end of the day in the future years.
What was the standard like in Sweden compared to what we see in England? Where would you like place the Swedish teams in the football pyramid?
So the league I was in, it would be like the equivalent to League Two. You got the Allsvenskan, the Superettan, Div One. We were Div Two. I would probably say it's Conference North, MPL standard. Obviously, the standard of player is that goes out there. But you know, they get class crowds there. It's not the same as like the, you know, professional teams and that, but, you know, you're still training like three or four times a week, and you know you're loving every minute of it. At the end of the day, as an English lad over there, you know you're all over it. But yeah, I'd say that's probably about the standard.
You touched on coming back to England, and you got your 9-to-5 job, and then you joined New Mills. Were they in the Northwest Counties, or had they just been promoted up into the Northern Prem?
So I think they'd actually been reprieved from relegation.
Yeah.
Obviously, they had the Tony Hancock years where they won the counties, spent a lot of money, and then, you know, they've had a few years of sort of, you know, drawing back a little bit. They got relegated, but then I think a team couldn't come up, so they stayed in the league. But we made sure they went down that year. We got 3 points all season. I come back from Sweden. I trialled at a few clubs, and then Fernie, who was at Stalybridge, asked me to go down. I think I was actually trialling at Stockport County at the time. So I was like, look, I want to play as high as I can. But so we're fine with, but in that time they signed Liam Higginbottom. So he started the season. I think he played like 7 or 8 games or something like that. New manager comes in, Gary Brown. And at this point, like, we're shipping goals. It's not Liam's fault. Like, I mean, the team's horrendous. It was really poor. Like, unfortunately, it is how it is. But new manager come in, Gary Brown, give me a chance straight away. I mean, we still were hammered, but, you know, he was having me at the end of the day, and I was lucky. You know, there's keepers out there who don't have like that manager. I have been lucky in my managers in teams where I've done well. As that'll probably go hand in hand with, but you know, I had Gary Brown at New Mills, Bandy at Maudsley, and then John Macken at Radcliffe. You know, they've all stuck with me. You know, they've all praised me and all that. Same with the gaffer at Rami before my injury. But you know, I've been really lucky that I've had managers that have backed me. But yeah, New Mills was a learning curve, but I had to treat it as personal development. You know, I think I covered it in a blog that I wrote. You know, it's tough when as a kid, when you're shipping goals at a young age, you have, you know, you have to show some mental strength. And you know, you had to have the right people around you and sort of look at the game a bit different. You know, I was literally just doing it. I was just thinking, you know, you at least you're busy every week. You know, you might not be winning the league or anything like that, but, you know, you're going to improve from it and you're going to get the rewards from it from doing it. But yeah, 3 points all season was horrendous. But, you know, the only source I get is the player awards that I won. But I think that's probably because I was the only player who was there. Oh, yeah, to be honest, just process of elimination. But yeah, it was a learning curve, that's for sure, mate.
Performances seem to have made you a fan's favourite with New Mills fans. So that must be pleasing that they look held you in that regard. And also, like, with the awards that you picked up for that season.
Yeah, no, I've always been someone who tries to connect with fans, you know, especially in non-league. But it's not football without fans. You know, the heart and soul of the club, you know, the volunteers, they are very good people. I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of very good people behind the scenes. I always say that there's not enough time that I won't give to, you know, stay and chat with fans about the game or about anything really. But yeah, no, New Mills, I've been back to watch a couple of games. I do like up in New Mills. So I've been back a few times. I know a couple of people who play for them, like, historically. I will be going up again at some point. But yeah, no, I love the people that run it, like Sue and Ray, the class people. Obviously, the awards come as the awards. You know, that was my sort of motivation for it, was for something to stick on my CV, really. Something to celebrate in quite a drab season.
A spell at Mosley, where I think you played something like 38 consecutive, you made 38 consecutive appearances before returning to New Mills. So what was your time like at Mosley? Because obviously that was stepping back up into the Northern Premier League, or at least for yourself, staying there, if it had been after the season where New Mills had been relegated.
Yeah, so I mean, we actually got relegated back-to-back with New Mills. So I played a season in the counties with them, and then I went up to Mosley. I felt that the time was right to move on from New Mills. I'd done what I could there, and I wanted to be playing at least step four. So I was at, I think I went in at Ashton. Yeah, I went in at Ashton with five other keepers, seen them all off, and then Dave Carnell come available, and, you know, it just left FC. He's, you know, he's an unbelievable keeper. Like, he's had a great career in non-league, so, you know, you can't really argue with it. And they got promoted that year, Ashton. So, you know, it's justified. But that left me, like, without a club, dead late on. So I went and signed for Mosley. A bit of an awkward one, because we had Kendall away on the first game of the season. So, like, a couple of weeks gone past, and I said to Bander, like, Bander, we've not really discussed money, mate. It was like, oh, well, you know, lads get this. So I was like, well, I mean, I was on that at that New Mills, you know, I want a bit more. And I, like, to start with, I hated speaking about money. Like, it was just really awkward. So it was like, right, we'll sort of meet halfway with it. So I was like, right, happy days. Anyhow, first 2 minutes of the Kendall game, I come for a, like, cross gets brought in, goes straight through my hands, 1-0 down after like 3 minutes. I was thinking, Jesus, that's just my look. And that's why I don't really speak about money anymore before games or anything like that. And that sort of set the tone for it a little bit. Like, I had some decent performances, but, you know, truth be told, there was people behind the scenes who were just, you know, I wasn't in a good place with. I did feel a bit scapegoated. You know, I do feel like I wasn't the problem. Like, with the declining results, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a saint. I wasn't having worldies every week, but, you know, I don't think I was treated particularly well there by certain people, and I made that known when I left. You know, it got me to a point where I hated going to training. You know, I was it got to a Tuesday and a Thursday. I was like, oh, can't be asked going here. Really can't be bothered with it. And then, you know, you go there and other keepers there, and you're thinking, you know, your head's just up your ass a bit. And I was like, you know what, sack it, I'm going back to New Mills. So I left training early. I just walked out. I've never done it before, but my head was that gone. I picked my gloves up and said I'm off to the players, didn't even tell the managers. Rang the New Mills gaffer, who was there at the time. He was there as I left. I was like, you know, look, I'm struggling here. Like, I need to enjoy my football. Do you need a keeper? And he was like, you know, we are happy with the keeper we've got, but, you know, we can't really turn you down. So went straight from training straight to Mackie's to sign on the papers, and I was back at New Mills. Martin was in Miller, I think the article was. But yeah, that was New Mills part two.
How important is it for a semi-professional player to actually, when he's playing football, to enjoy it and, you know, want to be there? Because obviously you've got so much going on in your life, like with your work, family and what have you. It's something you don't really want to be stressed on. You just want to go out and enjoy yourself.
I mean, don't worry, the pressure comes because at the end of the day, it is semi-professional football. You are still getting, you know, whether it goes on your carpet, on your petrol or whatever, you know, you're still getting paid to play football. So you have got a, you know, you've got a duty to perform at the end of the day. But I think with clubs, it is managing the expectations of your players. You know, fortunately, my job, as a 9-5 office job, isn't particularly like draining, but you know, you've got lads who are like coming off a building site, you know, start getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they go and play a night game and they're getting strung up in the changing rooms because they've had a stinker or something. You know, I don't think it's particularly right, but it's football at the end of the day. And, you know, it's about man management, and that's where I think, especially like John Macken was fantastic with me. Like I had a rough couple of weeks at Radcliffe and he knew how to manage me, which wasn't the case at all at Maudsley. Wasn't the case at all. If anything, like, that was the root of it. Like the people who you'd want to comfort you were the people who were making me, like, you know, think about sack it off. But yeah, back to New Mills, and you know, I was happy to be back. You know, it was the same. To be fair, it's the same story. Fast forward a few years, which I imagine we'll touch on later. But you know, I was back at New Mills. Fans loved me. You know, it was like, oh, he's gone up there, he's come back or whatever. And, you know, and I played well because I was enjoying it. It was a relaxed atmosphere. I think we needed to win a couple of games to stay up, which we did do. And you know, I come back and I was enjoying football. A few of the lads who I played with, like, were there, and it was a good laugh, and it really gave me the fire back, which I still thank New Mills. Like, you know, every time I speak to them, like, at the end of the day, they give me the chance to get the fire and the vigour back with it.
Do you regret then leaving New Mills in a way? I know you obviously said you wanted to be playing at Step 4, but obviously going back, not shortly after, but after a while back to the same club.
Yeah, it was obviously, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. I could have stayed at New Mills. I could have stayed at New Mills like till now, you know, got like 500 appearances or whatever, which, don't get me wrong, I'd absolutely love. But I want to play at the highest standard I can. Like, even now, you know, I want to play at the highest standard that I'm physically able to do. You know, maybe anyway, I wasn't leaving New Mills to sign for Maudsley. You know, I'd had sort of interest from other clubs, but you know, you're not going to do well at every club. Like I say, I wasn't a saint at Maudsley. But I mean, once the management left, like, I was getting messages all on Twitter, like, my DMs just blew up straight away saying, you need to come back, blah, blah, blah. Like, cause everyone knew what the score was, like, between me and one of the managers. But it's, you know, it's you take the leap of faith sometimes, and, you know, I was happy and grateful that New Mills took me back.
You mentioned his name a couple of times, so we'll have to move on to him. And that's John Macken and your time at Radcliffe, and you've touched on him and what have you. So what was it like to work under John in that dressing room, because you went to win the playoffs that year with Radcliffe?
I mean, it come about because Gary Lazenbury, I played with his son at Fleetwood. He dropped me a message saying, oh, Radcliffe are interested in you. So at the time I was thinking, Radcliffe, like, I swear they're always, you know, they're always a team where they'll never go down because there's two teams worse than them each year. And it was like, no, like, you know, John Macken and Frank Sinclair are in there, like, you know, they're going for promotion and all that, like, the club's changed. So I was like, right, all right, you know, happy day. So I went down, met John playing in the game, and it was like, right, happy day, sign on. Got to the ground and all that. I'd only played at Radcliffe once, I think. Other than that, I was always like, I either got bombed or it got called off. So I went and signed there. You know, I had a not the best start to pre-season. I never have good pre-seasons. It takes me a few games to get going. But it was against Bury, actually. I've gone to throw the ball out, and the ball sort of like, I want to throw the ball out, but I've changed my mind at the last second. So the ball sort of in the air, and I've like double caught it, which, you know, indirect free kick, they score from it. And then 5 minutes later, Carl Grogan tries to everyone back to me, which I've shouted for, and it's gone over me, own goal. So again, not off to the best start, but you know, as soon as the season started, we were flying. You know, we started really, really well. Dropped off in like sort of mid-December, January time. Like my performances, like my kicking went horrendous. Like, I mean, it's a bit wonky as it is, but you know, it was just dreadful around that time. And then it picked up again, where you know, we went on a bit of a surge, top at Christmas, like I say. And then Coles sort of pitched us to the post a bit, beat them. Like we did the double on them, but we lost stupid games. Like I think we got beat by Clitheroe and Glossop in the same week, and you know, they were both like down the bottom of the league in that season. Wasn't good enough. We victim of our own mistakes. But as I was still saying, you know, we all still speak, like the playoff winning Borough lads, it was the anniversary a few weeks ago. But, you know, it was so much better to go up in the playoffs. You know, it always is. You know, just, we're not playing at Wembley, so it's not like the Football League ones, but it was a packed house at the Newvern. You know, Leek, they'd beat us twice in the league, and then we did them in the playoffs. And honestly, there was no better feeling. We actually beat Rami in the semi-finals, which Wilcock, God love, reminded me of. But, it was such a good feeling, like winning them playoffs. That it was such a relief, because we'd all worked so hard for the entire of the season. You know, it was an accumulation of like relief, really, when the final whistle blew it in the playoffs. And you know, John and Frank and Steve and Des, you know, all the coaching lot, Josh the start man, and that they all kept us going throughout because of man management. You know, man management for me is the best way. If you're good at man management, then you'll have the dressing room, and that's what that coaching team had.
It seems to be with ex-professionals who've dropped out of the Football League and gone on to managing the non-league game, they seem to be able to get their arm around them. I watched Gary Flitcroft when he managed Chorley, and that was what one of the things the players always said was his man management. So as you say, is that the most important asset any manager could bring to a dressing room, whether that be the Football League or even in the non-league or Sunday League?
Definitely. I mean, you know, you it's one extreme to another, really. Like, you either rule with the iron fist, or you know, you're quite easy going. But you don't, get me wrong, John could flip his leg quite a bit, leak down away. Yeah. Less said about that, the better, really. But if you have a happy dressing room, you know, and the lads will respect you for it. You know, the lads are either going to like playing for the life, or they play for the team. And we had every single lad knew that whoever started, they'd support the lad they were playing next to, in front or behind. You know, it was such a, like, to this day, and I don't think it'll ever be matched unless we all play again together. You know, that team spirit was superb, but that really come from the management. You know, that they made sure we were staying behind, you know, team bonding and all that. Let's say ex-professionals, they played the game at the highest level. So they know how players need to be treated. Don't wrong, players haven't got any right to be treated nicely, but it's nice when it is.
Just touching on one of your teammates, Tunde Owolabi, who's gone on to have, I think, a successful career up in Scotland. So what was he like to play with? Because he was one of the leading scorers in that division that year.
Yeah, Tunde's one of my best mates in football, to be fair. He was with me at New Mills. He was fast. He's so fast. It's unbelievable. Like, that's the first thing you think when you think of Tunde, how fast he is. So, you know, it was happy days for me. I like going in behind, you know, like going long, like play Tunde in. It's happy days for me. When the new manager was coming at New Mills, he got fobbed off, rightly or wrongly. But when he rocked up at Radcliffe, you know, he'd come on leaps and bounds. You know, what John and Frank did with him, basically changed his career, really, didn't it? You know, he went up with Radcliffe, went out to Malta on holiday for a bit, and then come back and signed for FC. You know, stormed the goal scoring charts from there. Like, got his pro deal up at Hamilton. I can't think of the team that he's at the minute over in Ireland. But yeah, no, I'm really happy for him that he at least got to experience full time football, you know, in the Scottish Prem. You know, I'm sure he'll be back in amongst it soon enough. But yeah, no, he's a good lad Sunday as well. He deserves it. He's a nice guy.
I think he's at Finn Harpus.
Finn, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Wikipedia telling me that one. And I think you mentioned about going long and him getting in behind the defence. I think that was how you scored that equaliser in the playoff final, because I actually covered the game, because I'm based down in Stoke, and the local, I work for a local radio station who cover both Leek and Kidsgrove, and they sent me and also did it for the, covered the game for the local paper. I just remember, I think it was like right after half time, like just 30 seconds into the second half that you got that equaliser.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember if I played it or anything. If it did, I'm happy. I'm buzzing. But no, Matty Crover's come on. Lee Neff, yeah. Come off at half time. Matty Crover's come on. It was his birthday the day after, so he was up for it. Come on, gets played in, squares it to Sunday. Sunday couldn't miss. You know, and Ben Wharton scores that pen. I tip the ball into the post in the final minute. Scotty Metcalf makes a last ditch tackle even later on, and we go up. The rest is history, really. But yeah, no, it's special.
I remember that last minute save. I think it was from the Leek right back. I don't think he'd scored for Leek at the time, and I don't think he's going to get a better opportunity. And you managed to turn that effort onto the post, which must have been pretty pleasing.
Yeah, no, well, I'm sort of getting a bit goosebumps now. I'm thinking about it, like, you know, I obviously as you do. I still watch the playoff highlights and all that. Every time I go around to my dad's, he's got it on the telly, like full blast and all that. But yeah, windy as well. Like the ball's come in from the halfway line, bobbling about a little bit, and then the lad sort of like helps it on. So there's not that much pace on it, but the wind's sort of carrying it. And it's like I go down. Like it's not one of them where I've just gone down just to try and cover it, and it's hit my middle finger and gone onto the post. All the Leek fans like leaving it, yeah, hands on the heads and all that, and I've. It was just unbelievable feeling, like doing that. But that was a relieving moment for me because of how hard sort of I personally worked. Like I thought I've had two relegations on my CV. You know, I don't want my career to be defined by relegations. I want to be, you know, I want to be a promotion winning keeper at the end of the day. So I worked my nuts off all year. You know, as did everyone, and that was the. Probably the best moment in my career, probably my favourite moment since, really. You know, the next year at Radcliffe started off all right, but then, you know, when, like I said, I've got no animosity against the club for what happened or all like that, but, you know, it was a really, really driving place to be when all the backroom stuff went on. It was a really tough place to be, as why a lot of lads left. I stuck to it. Again, you know, sort of with the New Mills thing, even though we were struggling, I was, you know, I was happy with my performances. I was still winning play with the mumps and all that and whatnot, but I was hanging on just to try and get a couple of awards, like, to add on to the ones that I got from the season before. But season gets curtailed, so a waste of my time, really. And then, you know, I moved on one way or another.
Just touching on that season, 2019-20 season, it feels ages ago now since that season started, and we're actually playing, the world was just generally normal, as we always say on this podcast. You kept 12 clean sheets that season, so it must have been pleasing because you were playing at the highest level that you've been at since you'd been at Stalybridge Celtic, coming up to nearly a decade before. And
the step up, I enjoyed it, and to be honest, I felt really comfortable in that league. You know, the first game against South Shields felt absolutely fine, you know, and then, you know, you get a few like sort of opening nerves and that, but I was fine. I was in my element. I was playing really well. In I'm one of them proper busy keepers where I listen to everything, like to do with our league, I'm all over it. I think it was the Northern Prem podcast, really. But I was in their team of the season, keeper of the season, by a vote. But it don't mean anything. It's not official, but I'll still take it at the end of the day. Felt more than comfortable in that league. I do feel like obviously, given my injury and that, but at the time, I do feel like I could play in the higher up still. Not full-time, but, you know, I feel like I could still challenge myself higher up going off my performances in that league.
Touched on the NPL Podcaster Award, and as you say, yeah, it might not be an official one, but for a player who's been putting that position, to be named in the team, it must be great, because it's people who are not supporters of your football club who are recognising the hard work you and your teammates are doing each week, and the other people in there, to vote for yourself and obviously the other players.
I mean, to me, I was a bit fuming that I didn't get in the team of the year for the promotion year. You know, I think it was 21 clean sheets or something in 50 games or whatever. You know, you can't get much better than that, really. But yeah, the leak keeper, is it Danny Roberts, maybe?
Yeah, it was Danny Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, he got in. You know, he's a great keeper. But yeah, I was fuming at that snub. So that's why I'm taking the win for the podcast one. I was fuming last year, so I'll have this one.
I don't blame you. We'll just briefly move on to FC United of Manchester. I think you were really there for pre-season, so do you want to just explain what happened? Because I think there was a few things that have been said and what have you, but if you just want to clear the air up as to what happened from your perspective?
That's a golden question, really. People who are around me will know what it is, but you know, I signed there early on. As soon as I left Radcliffe, my phone was going, because it was sort of like it was a big thing. You know, I was well liked at Radcliffe. It was sort of well known that, so it was a bit of a shock that I wasn't in the plans. So then straight away, Gaz Laisby again sort of said, Renault wants to speak to you from FC. So, and I know Renault was sort of, you know, he was interested in me the season before. We sort of touched on it a little bit, but obviously I was happy at Radcliffe at the time. But like I said, I'll speak to a couple of clubs, and then Renault rings me and offers me some FC. So I was like, I can't really turn it down. You know, I've been training with FC when I was at New Mills. You know, a new chappie and all, a keeper coach there. I've been familiar with the stadium and all that. And back then I was thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind it here, but as would anyone when they were in the Conference North. So yeah, I signed there early on, but too early on. Like, in hindsight, you know, not under contract or anything. So as soon as you sign early on and you're off the market, you sort of, you know, I think it was more of a safety net. You know, if they couldn't find a better keeper or something, then at least they got Ollie Martin. But yeah, no, it sort of come back to what I was saying before, where if you speak to your players and all that, you know where they stand and all that, but I was just completely frozen out. I picked up an injury coaching, but it was like a thigh strain, and that sort of like set me back a little bit. You know, it was tough because I never have good pre-seasons. You know, I'm at my best when the season's on and it's competitive, and you know, you're playing for points and all that, and it's you know, it is how it is with me. You know, I think that I can play out from the back, but it's not a strength, you know. And obviously, FC play that way no matter how. And I guess Renault just wasn't having me. You know, that's football at the end of the day. But he wasn't having me, but he wasn't telling me. He was sort of telling me by like not playing me. You know, I had times where I was like, you know, bank holiday Monday, like, I went up to Clitheroe thinking I was going to get half a game or something. I only found out like at half time, as I was coming back to the dugout to put my shinies on, he was like, "All right, I'm not going on." So then straight away, Wright was on the wall, pulled him in after the final pre-season game. You know, it wasn't the best for me at the time, because obviously I turned down these clubs to sign for FC. You know, given what I'd done in the league, I was at the time sort of seen as one of the better keepers in the league. So I was sort of like a bit miffed as to why I was without a club, and obviously I don't want to go back to clubs like with my hat in my hand, you know, after I turn them down to sign for FC. I'm not that kind of person. So I, you know, just sort of put it out there. And, you know, Rami got in touch straight away. They were looking for a keeper. And, you know, they were like, we'll have you down, like, no problem. So, you know, and I spoke to the gaffer, Chris Wilcock, and, you know, he was singing my praises. I was like, wow, what a contrast this is. You know, I was having a manager who's like, you know, completely frozen me out, like, you know, for like, it's probably justified from his end. Like, I don't think I was given a fair crack at it at FC, but it's football at the end of the day. So you go from that to, you know, being told you're the best thing since sliced bread, you know, straight away, boom, like, confidence just went through the roof again. You know, played my few games at Rami, then got injured, and fast forward 9 months and here we are.
And just touch on joining Rami. We've had Grant Shenton on one of the very early episodes, and he's a big Ramsbottom United legend. Sam Ashton, who was a predecessor, he's coming up as well. And both of them have talked about how homely and well looked after you are at Ramsbottom United. So from your point of view, why is that the case, particularly with Harry Williams, and what a job he's done with that club?
Yeah, no, Harry's class. As are the two lads that you mentioned, Shenton, Sam. Obviously, I've got quite a bit to live up to with them. Obviously, Shenton's literally a club legend there. Sambo the same. So, you know, it's back to business. When I'm back playing, Harry, like I say, he's class. He's, you know, he does make me laugh. What was he saying now? It was like one of the last sort of team bonding things. And he was like, we were all doing the initiations. That was it. So I did my song, shocking as always. I was like, Harry, come on. You know, you come, like, speech and all that speech. So he sort of like, you know, he waddles up and all that. And he starts like giving a really heartfelt thing. Like, honestly, like I was like, tearing up. I was thinking, you know, Christ, I'm going to go here. His wife's like sort of going and all that, barmaid's going. And he's like, you know, I look into the players that sign for this club. And he's like, he's really well, you know, softly spoken that. And, you know, like, look at him there. Like, everyone sort of point, you know, he's pointing at me. Remember, I've like got my legs in crutches and all that. He was like, he was a fan favourite at Radcliffe and all that. You know, he beat us in the semi-final to get promoted. You know, he played well against us, and the fans always love him. Look on Twitter, they always love him. And, you know, he wants to play for this club, and I will always back him. Ain't that right, Ol? So I'm like, yeah, Harry, like, you know, you're right. He goes, you got to play well first, though, aren't you? It's like, everyone's like, whoa. He's just like, he set me up like hook, line and sinker for it. But he's, he's class, Harry, the right character in non-league, which is, again, you know, when I touched on before, without fans and these good people, obviously Harry's putting his money into the club. There's no non-league football.
There certainly isn't. And I guess he's looked after you and helped you along with your injury that you suffered when you were at Ramsbottom as well.
Yeah, no, it's been class. Every time I've gone back, like, he's asking how it is and all that. Same with everyone at the club, really. You know, I've had loads of like Rami fans messaging me like saying I was injured and all that. Obviously, I'm starting to put it through his paces a little bit with my training and all that. I'm always uploading videos and that I've been trying to do a little bit, and you know, that just sort of like whet my own appetite really for getting back into it. But yeah, no, it's a shame with Rami. You know, we should be playing in a higher league. 19-20 season got curtailed. Then we were top at the time that we stopped, and then obviously Colne played an extra game, went top. But over the two seasons, the points per game would probably put us up. And then obviously with all the restructures that's going on in a week or so, the teams and the counties are going off the points per game. And, you know, I thought the season was null and void, and it's one rule for one rule for another. You know, the FA is the FA at the end of the day, it's no surprise. But yeah, Rami should be playing in the higher league, and hopefully we can do that this season.
I suppose you're looking forward to then playing a full season, because we've not had it since that season when Radcliffe got promoted, the full season that started and come to a complete conclusion with playoffs and promotion and relegation.
It's strange, like, you know, it's mad. There's some lads who have retired and they've not missed the season yet. You know, I mean, I broke my leg and I've only missed four games. You know, it's crazy. Getting quite sick of it, to be fair, all the stop-start of football and the government and all that. But hopefully, you know, once football's back now, it's back, you know, and people can get on with their lives, get on with, you know, football and all that, because it's a release for a lot of people. There's, you know, a lot of people play the troubles and the worries away in then 90 minutes or, you know, that hour and a half that they're with the teammates at training or something or anything. You know, it's a massive release. And, you know, and you got like the people in charge and the government, like, you know, setting these rules and all that. It's messing with people's heads. So the sooner it's back, the better. And as long as it stays back, then we're all right.
And what's the future going to be for yourself then, Ollie? Because obviously you've got years left ahead of you playing football.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that I've got plenty of years left, unless I break down again, touch wood. But yeah, no, you know, I'm just looking for promotions, play at the highest level that I can. you know, I'm sick of sitting around like waiting for football. I'm gonna smash out of the park when I get back. You know, GKN and you know, football wise, semi pro football wise, I'm gonna be all over it. But yeah, no, it's like I say, just play as well as I can. You know, and that's all you can do really. Enjoy it.
I suppose you've got your business alongside you, which will always keep you closely connected with football.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm like me, myself, and Chris Kiernan, who co-own it. You know, we're putting it in a position like at the minute where we could be going full time with it. Chris is going to be going full time. I'm working my way with that, obviously, because of my injury. Now it's not the right time at the minute, but once I'm back and I'm flying, we can really give it the push that it deserves to have. Because it's not just the gloves that we do; it's the coaching, it's the, you know, it's the player placements and all that. And there are so many things that we want to do with it. It'd be a massive shame if it doesn't get the effort it deserves, especially for me. Like at 25, I am still relatively young. I'm no spring chicken, but you know, I've got enough time like to do it. So we'll definitely be giving it a good go and, you know, watch this space from it.
We end these podcasts with the final few questions. So the first one is, who's the best player you've played with throughout your career?
You could have told me we had quick fire questions, I would have got some down. Best player I've played with, if we're going off sort of standard played, I mean, I know he had a stinker on his debut, but you have to go with Angus Gunn. You know, he's probably the biggest name I've played with at City. So yeah, I'd probably go with Angus. As much as it pains me to say, but yeah, I'll have Angus.
Who's the best player you've come up against throughout your career?
Ross Barkley. When I was, I think it was 13 or 14, no, I thought I was 14, I played two age groups up and we played against Everton and Ross Barkley was there and he's the same size he is now back then, you know, and he was unbelievable. You know, I think he bagged an hat trick past me. But yeah, he was class. We played against Inter Milan, so there'll be some players who I imagine, like, I obviously have no idea about who they were, but I imagine they would have probably progressed into the first team and whatnot. But yeah, there's some. I've had plenty of goals shit past me, so I'm sure there's some decent players in there.
Which goalkeeper do you model yourself on, or did you aspire to be like when you were younger and growing up?
I always loved and still do Iker Casillas, and I think a lot of people sort of my age will, you know, you ask them, they'll say either Casillas or Buffon, or a United keeper. You know, Joe Hart as well, but obviously being at City, you know, he was the main man at the time. I actually met him on the same flight to Albufeira a few years ago, signed my mate's passport. But yeah, Casillas, 100%. You know, I wear short sleeves because of him and all that. You know, similar height, both left-footed, you know, short black hair, brown hair. It's, you know, little things like that. I was obsessed with him. Went over to the Bernabeu to watch him play against Villarreal. Got a top like of his Casillas on the back and all from the club shop. I only go and leave it at Stalybridge Celtic tournament when I get back, don't I? When I went back, I was like, I'm lost and found. Have you got a Casillas top in there? It's like, nah, it's gone, mate. So, but yeah, no, Iker Casillas for definite.
And why did you want to be a goalkeeper when you were growing up? And why say not like a striker or what have you?
Because I wasn't a good striker. That's why I couldn't even get in the. I only started playing when I was like 11. So like in year six, I couldn't even get in the B team or the C team at like striker or centre half or wherever. So I just thought, you know what? I think it was. I went to watch Stockport County play. I'm a Stockport fan. James Spencer was in that, and I don't know why. I just loved the fact that he was a keeper, and you know, I've grown into like loving gloves and all that. That's why I got the glove brand and that. But I was all over it, and we were coming back from, I think they were playing Mansfield, and we stopped off in a JJB, and we got like, they were my first ever gloves. I remember, and they were like Umbro, but they were like the official England ones. So they had like the England crest on. I mean, they had palms like paper mache. They were horrendous. It was, but I went in to the trials at school. And I was flying. Like, I had a horrendous set position. I was like proper dead wide, like I was like playing basketball or something. But yeah, and I was all right. I was always tall for my age. I've probably not grown since I was 13. You know, I've always been this height, and I could kick it far. Like for my age, I could kick it quite far. So that was obviously, you know, that helped me. But got made captain in year six for the school and that. And then that's sort of like just set the way for me, really. I had gone into secondary school. I had trials, as like most lads do. You know, I was at Bolton to start with, left Bolton. As I broke my knee whilst I was at Bolton. Come back from that, went back to Bolton, left Man United, Everton, Liverpool for 6 months, signed for City. You know, I had the pick of the bunch, really, but signed with City, and you know, I kickstarted from there, really. But I, like I said, I wasn't good enough as an outfielder. I'm still not now, but it's some things never change. But yeah, no, I'll think I'll stick in that for now.
Just diverging off the questions, you mentioned being a Stockport County fan. You must be pleased to see how well they're doing. And as we record this, in a couple of weeks or even before this episode goes out, they could be back in the Football League. So that must be pleasing for a club the size of Stockport County to be back in the Football League, where really they rightfully belong.
100%. I was listening to, funny, you mentioned John Parkin before at Fleetwood. I always listen to his podcast, the Comedy Gold there. I listened to the Liam Dickinson one. Obviously, I was with Dicko at Stalybridge, but he's a Stockport legend. And remember, like that season, like the 07-08 season, romping that league. I think they finished third in the end. I still remember going to the home game against Wickham, 1-0, and then obviously going to Wembley to watch him against Rochdale and all that. I honestly loved going to watch County as a kid. I loved it. Not sound like Kevin Keegan there, but the following season in League One as well, that was quality. Obviously, as I got older, I started to play at 3 o'clock as well, so I can't always go to the games. I'll still follow it here and there when I can, but County are such a big club. You know, they deserve to be in the Football League, and they will. You know, they will be in, whether it's this year or next year. They will be they're a powerhouse in that league now. I've been training with them a few times, like over my sort of career, you know, which is a bit surreal, really. But you know, we've had the dark days of the Conference North and all that, and you know, it'll be unreal if they do manage to go up. That'd be unreal. I might even have to get my season ticket for footballing.
Yeah,
get it going again.
Yeah, and what's been the best moment in your football career? Because you've had some very enjoyable clubs you've played for. And enjoyable moments with each of them.
I mean, if you want to go club by club, it's like, I mean, obviously the standout one's the playoff win with Radcliffe. But you know, Stalybridge was probably leaving. New Mills, the awards, Mosley again leaving. Radcliffe winning the title, the playoff title. You know, and then we'll have to see with Rami. We'll have to see where we go from there. I've met a lot of good people in football. You know, not just the players, but the fans and the managers, especially. I am one of them where I'll speak to anyone, and you know, there's people like even from Mosley now that I still speak to. You know, that they are really nice people. One of them goes to like a baby class with a girl that I work with. You know, and she's like, oh, like she used to sponsor you at Mosley. Like, oh yeah, I still know. You know, I know she's and all that. Like, I'm a people person. At the end of the day, when I'm at football, I respect sort of the position I'm in at a club, especially for kids. You know, like the videos that I get sent where the kids are like running around the house like saying, oh, Ollie Martin and all that. It's crazy. I mean, my dad loves me. Another thing he's got on repeat, but you know, even no matter the level you're at, you're going to be a role model for someone, because they're spending their money to come and watch you play. So I'm always for fan interaction and all that. So you know, I've met a lot of good people, and defining moments in football for me come from meeting them people and the playoffs.
Finally, what advice would you give to any young goalkeeper or someone who's wanting to start up playing in goal? What advice would you give them?
Play games and enjoy it. Like, so my motto for my keepers who I coach is, you know, improve by training, but mature by playing games. You know, so I'd go by that motto. I'll always stand by it. And also, if you're going to be a keeper, you best be wearing GK and gloves.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. And I know obviously you plugged them at the start, but just for anyone who missed the plug at the beginning, if you just want to plug your business, just as we end this podcast.
Yeah, so like I said then, the GKN gloves or coaching, you can find them at www.thegkn.net. Twitter is at the GKN, Instagram at the .GKN.
Yeah, Ollie, we've recorded another great podcast, so thank you for your time, and I'll let you get back to your Friday evening as we record this.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for having me on, Rich. You're doing a great job of all the stuff that you're doing, mate. Let's keep it up.
Remember, you can follow this podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Non-League Keeper. That's N-O-N-L-G-E Keeper. You can also subscribe to the podcast by clicking the subscribe button on your chosen device and chosen listening platform. You'll get every episode delivered straight to your device at 7 a.m. every Friday when the episode drops. But for now, thank you for listening.